Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. For this edition, Ken Ham's remarks during the 2024 Illinois Christian Home Educators Conference at Olivet Nazarene University in Bourbonnais. Mr. Ham is the founder and CEO of Answers in Genesis and its two popular attractions, the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. Both are located in northern Kentucky. Mr. Ham hosts the daily radio program Answers, and he's the author of more than 30 books. At ICHE, he made the case for building the right worldview so you can understand the world correctly.
What is a worldview? I mean, if you look up the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it says a comprehensive conception or apprehension of the world, especially from a specific standpoint. In other words, everyone has a way of looking at the world. That's called your worldview. Your worldview is like a pair of glasses. Everyone wears a pair of glasses, and your worldview is determined by your religion. See, a lot of people have the idea that some people are religious and some are not. Atheists say they're not religious. That's just plain straight wrong. They are religious. Everyone has a worldview. Everyone has a belief about who they are, where they came from, what life is all about, what its purpose and meaning is, even if you say it's meaningless and purposelessness, like atheists would tell us. Your religion determines your worldview. See, a lot of people have the idea that secular is not religious. Secular is neutral. And so they say, oh, our kids go to the secular schools. You know, the Bible says you're either for Christ or what? Against. You walk in light or darkness. You gather or scatter. You build your house on the rock or build your house on the sand. There is no neutral position. There's no such thing as a neutral position. It's like when people say there are no absolutes. Well, that is their one absolute. Think about that, right? Or people say, oh, you Christians, you should allow all beliefs about marriage. You people are intolerant. Wait a minute, they're intolerant of your belief based on the Bible that says there's only one, and it's God's view of marriage because he created it. And so there's no neutrality. So atheists are not neutral. Atheists have a religion, right? They are not for Christ, they are against. By the way, remember that too, because it really helps us to remind us what's going on in the public schools. When instead of calling them secular schools or public schools, I suggest you call them anti-God schools. That is biblical, because if they're not for Christ, they're against. And then you say to yourself, oh, my kids go to the anti-God school. It'll remind you of what's really going on and what's really happening, because we need to be reminded of that, of what's happening there. See, if you look up the definition of religion, if you look at number 4 there from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, a cause, principle, system of belief held to with ardor and faith. Well, that's atheism. Everyone has a religion. And in an ultimate sense, do you know how many religions there are? Ultimately, there's only two, God's word or man's word. God who knows everything or man. That's it. There's only two. And when you mix man's word with God's word, then it's man's word is your foundation. There's only two religions. There's only two foundations that build your worldview. And this really began as a battle 6,000 years ago in a garden when God said to the first man, Adam, Adam, you can eat of all the trees as a test of obedience. There's one tree you're not to eat because if you do, you'll surely die. In other words, Adam, obey God's word. He's the absolute authority. But then what happened? Along came the devil in the form of a serpent who said, did God actually say? In other words, don't trust the word of God. You trust your own word, man's word. You be your own God. You will be like God. And, you know, actually, if you look at Genesis 3:1 and Genesis 3:5, we know that we sinned in Adam. That really sums up our sin nature. I want to remind us, everyone has this nature where we want to question God's word. We would rather trust the word of man than the word of God. Hey, I see that in the church all the time. I see it in Christian academic institutions all the time. The majority of our Christian leaders who would rather trust man's word about evolution in millions of years instead of God's clear word in Genesis. God knows everything, not man. We should always trust God first. And we want to be our own God. You see that today. You see it in the climate change religion. We want to save ourselves. We want to determine what we can do to save the planet because we're the ones who are the ultimate savior. And so we want to write our own rules. We want to define marriage. We want to define gender. We want to define life. And so it goes on. And so a battle began between two foundations or two religions, God's word and man's word. And on the basis of the foundation you have, you build your worldview. Now, I want you to understand something. This is what many people don't get. The Bible's not just a book of spiritual things, moral things, relationships. The Bible's not just a book of stories. It's not a book that you add to your thinking. This is a revelation from God who knows everything, who's revealed to us a little bit of that information to enable us to have the key information to build the right way of thinking about everything. About everything. You see, I've been asked many times over the past 40 years in this ministry, how do you fit dinosaurs into the Bible? Well, let me tell you the answer. You don't. Because you see, in asking that question, they're looking at the world today and the fossils we find, how do you fit that into the Bible? No, no, no. If you understand worldview, your worldview has a foundation. You have presuppositions. You have beliefs that determine your worldview, and therefore the way that you look at everything. You start from God's word first. You use the Bible to explain dinosaurs. God tells us when he made land animals. He tells us that two of every kind of those land animals got on board Noah's Ark. He tells us originally all the land animals were vegetarian. The two of every kind came off the ark and increased in number over time. Those that didn't go on the ark drowned. Many of them turned into fossils. So that then enables us to understand something. And something else the Bible tells us. Death came into the world after sin. There wasn't any death millions of years before sin. There was no millions of years before sin. Death came after sin. So the fossil record had to come after sin. It's a record of death and diseases like cancer and so on. And so when you understand the events that God has revealed to us, look, this happened in the past. Here's the information you need to have. Now build the right worldview so you understand the world correctly. It's the same with an issue like death and suffering. How many times do I have people say to me, oh, how can you believe in a loving God? Look at all the death and suffering. How do you fit all the death, suffering, and disease with a loving God? Well, you don't. You start with the Bible to understand this world we live in today is not the world as God made it. It's suffered from man's sin and the judgment of death and the curse upon the earth and the flood of Noah's day and the Tower of Babel. All these events God's revealed to us so we can build the right way of thinking to understand, oh, it's a groaning world because of sin. Oh, it's not God's fault. Oh, that death and suffering hasn't been here for millions of years. This is groaning because of our sin. And then you realize it's our fault, not God's fault. And you see, when you start from the right foundation, you build the right worldview in everything. And I want to challenge us today. I believe most of our homeschoolers, most of our Christian schools are not teaching true biblical worldview. Most get the idea, the Bible's sort of over here, you study that 9 o'clock on Tuesdays to Fridays or whatever. Then we do science, and then we do this, and then we... No, we've got to understand. We've got to raise up generations who understand your thinking has a foundation. And in everything, you need to make sure you've got the right foundation and the right worldview, or you will not approach it correctly. See, if you don't start from God's word, you start from man's word. Man's word, there is no God. Everything came about by natural processes. Naturalism is atheism. Therefore, your worldview is when you look at this world, oh, it's gone on like this for millions of years. That's why the climate change people get it all wrong. One of the main presuppositions in the foundation for the climate change movement is evolution of millions of years. And therefore, they're going to get wrong what's happening today. There's many other problems as well. See, we need to understand what the Bible actually is, a revelation from God who knows everything. Now, at the Creation Museum, we have all sorts of exhibits there, but our centerpiece is the walk through the Bible, what we call the walk through the seven seas of history, creation, corruption, catastrophe, confusion, Christ, cross, consummation. Those first four seas, God has revealed to us the history in geology, biology, astronomy, anthropology. That's foundational to the gospel, to all doctrine, to the rest of the Bible. Actually, those first four C's are foundational to our Christian worldview. In fact, I'm going to make a statement. Genesis 1 to 11 is the foundation for everything. You see, those first four C's, that's from creation through to the Tower of Babel event, that's Genesis 1 to 11. It is the foundation for everything. There is nothing that is not founded in the first 11 chapters of the Bible. Nothing. And if you want to deal with any issue, you name the issue, fossils, age of earth, death, disease, marriage, abortion, you name the issue. It doesn't matter what it is, racism, whatever it is, you have to start with the right foundation to have the right worldview. And the right foundation is the first 11 chapters of the Bible. That's why God put them there. Problem, most churches don't teach that. Most Christian colleges don't teach that. Most of our Christian academics reject that. Most of them have said Genesis 1 to 11 doesn't matter. You know, trust in Jesus. I mean, we teach doctrine or whatever. And people, we wonder why we're losing generations from the church. We wonder why there's been a catastrophic generational loss. We wonder why most Christians don't know how to deal with all the social issues of the day, and many are despairing and say, what do? We wonder why we're losing many of our kids to the LGBT movement, because we haven't taught them the right foundation. And you see, because of that, we are seeing major issues in our church today. There's an incredible exodus from the church. If you look at America, you go back to the 1700s, 70-80% of the total population went to church. Come up to 2010, we're down to 18% of millennials. 2021, come to less than 9% of Generation Z. Something catastrophic has happened in the church. The sad thing is, many people look at the world and they say, look how bad the world is. Look at all these enemies coming against the church. We should be saying, look how bad the church is. There is something wrong in the church because we're losing those generations. We shouldn't be shocked or surprised at the enemies of God's people, because the enemies have always been there since the garden, since man sinned and rebelled against God. We can expect these enemies. We shouldn't be shocked by that. We shouldn't be shocked by how bad the world is. We should be shocked by how bad the church is, because most of our churches are not standing on God's word as they should, particularly when it comes to the right foundation for our worldview, for our doctrine, for everything. You know, George Barna, a Christian researcher, said in 2018, Generation Z are the first truly post-Christian generation. Post-Christian? That means anti-Christian, right? In other words, we have now a generation that is primarily atheistic. What happened? How did we lose them? What's gone on? And now we see moral relativism permeating the culture. And we look at that and many Christians say, I don't understand. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? We know why it's happened. Got to go back to Genesis to find out why it happened, because man rebelled against God. That's why it happened. It's interesting. If you go to 2 Corinthians 11:3, what we read is that Paul has a warning for us that the devil's going to use the same method on us as he did on Eve to get us a position of not believing the things of God. What was the method he used on Eve? To attack God's word. Did God really say? To attack the authority of the word. A battle began 6,000 years ago between God's word and man's word. Now, to put it in our modern context so we understand, on the basis of God's word, you build a Christian worldview, and out of that comes the absolutes of Christianity. God made marriage. God defines life. God defines gender. God defines everything. But when you start from man's word and build a secular worldview, man defines everything, and he redefines what God has defined. Generations ago, the Christian or a Christianized worldview permeated America, permeated the Western world. Because even if people weren't Christians, they still built their morality on the Bible and had a respect for the Bible. But now we've had generations indoctrinated against God's word. We sent them through an education system that educated them against the word of God. And most of our churches have said, oh, you can believe what you were taught at school, evolution, millions of years, doesn't matter. Don't worry about Genesis, Johnny, just trust in Jesus. But then they become consistent, start to realize that the history in the Bible is not true. This is not infallible. How could this be the word of God? And they walk away from the church. And not only that, when you've got generations with the foundation of man's word, most of our kids, 80-85% of kids from church homes, went through the secular anti-God education system. And those that are in the church have that foundation. And instead of giving them the right foundation, most of our leaders said, oh, you can have that same foundation. Just trust in Jesus. Once you've got the foundation of man's word, the LGBT movement can come in and capture them, because that's the foundation that enables them to do that. We haven't given them the right foundation. And you see, right now, we're seeing an incredible worldview conflict, because now moral relativism has become the dominant worldview, and that's the situation we have. But I want you to notice something. Most Christians try to battle it at the worldview level, but they actually... Until people have the right foundation of God's word, beginning in Genesis, they're not going to have the right worldview. You're never going to solve these issues, which is a reminder to us, government is not the solution to our problems. Legislation is not the solution to our problems. Now, don't get me wrong when I say that. We need to have more Christians with a true Christian worldview in politics, voting the right way in accord with a Christian worldview, to be sold out there. Trouble is, we don't have many anymore. And that's another change that has occurred. So don't get me wrong, but I want you to understand, in an ultimate sense, regardless, legislation is not the answer. The answer is people change their hearts and minds in regard to God and His Word and the saving gospel. That's the only solution. That has always been the solution. And you see, because people don't understand worldview, then they don't understand how to deal with what's happening today. For instance, many say to me, well, how do you deal with all those different problems in the culture? There's too many problems. People, they're all the same problem. Do you realize they're not different problems? They're different symptoms of the problem. What is the problem? They have the wrong foundation of man's word. And this is what should make it so obvious to us as Christians. If they're all the same problem, they all have the same solution. What's the solution? The solution has never changed. It's always been God's word and the saving gospel. That's the solution. We need to go out and do our best to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the word of God, stand on the authority of God's word, proclaim the gospel, to do all we can to impact people with God's word, the message of salvation, and to raise up godly offspring who have the right foundation and therefore have the right worldview and know what they believe and why and know how to defend the Christian faith. That's what we should be doing. But, you know, even a lot of our own Bible curricula is just Bible stories. You know what I mean by Bible stories? Jonah and the Great Fish, Feeding of the 5,000, Paul's missionary journey. A lot of the VBS programs are Bible stories. A lot of our Sunday school programs are Bible stories. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm talking about events in the Bible that are true. But it's not just a collection of story. And by the way, I would suggest to you, I want to really challenge you, don't use the word story anymore in regard to the Bible. The word story has changed meaning. In our modern world, in our vernacular today, the meaning of the word story primarily means fairy tale. Do you know what atheists say? I've got quotes from them saying this. The Bible's just a book of stories. Whereas what we teach them about evolution and so on is true. This is real stuff. They learn real stuff at school. They only get stories at church. We have got to understand the changes that have occurred, the way in which words have changed meaning. Many of us just don't even understand these things. And I would challenge us, we should be using words like account. Look at the account here in Scripture, the record in Scripture, the historical account here, the history, this historical event, and emphasizing the Bible as a book of history, because we live in an era where Bible as a book of history has been attacked. It's not a book of history. It's just mythology. It's just a book of stories. No, it's a book of history. We need to be making sure we're emphasizing that fact.
Ken Ham, the founder of Answers in Genesis, during the 2024 Illinois Christian Home Educators Conference at Olivet Nazarene University in Bourbonnais. Now, after time out, Mr. Ham will explain what he calls the Genesis 3 attack.
All and every. This is Ken Ham inviting you to visit the full-size Noah's Ark at the Ark Encounter. Some Christians, including many pastors and Bible colleges, teach that Noah's flood was just a local event, not a flood that actually covered the entire earth. Now, this doesn't come from the text of Genesis. It comes from bringing evolutionary ideas from outside the Bible into the text. Here's what the Genesis text actually says. Over and over, Genesis uses words like all and every, such as all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered, and all flesh died. Now, that doesn't sound like a small, localized event. You see, the Bible is very clear. Noah's flood? Well, it was a global judgment on sin, but God offered mercy.
Plan your visit to the Ark Encounter by going to AnswersRadio.com. Kids are free, so bring the whole family. Go to AnswersRadio.com.
With a woman to look at culture from a Christian worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. A parent of a six-year-old recently asked Wired magazine's advice columnist, "My kid wants to be an influencer. Is that bad?" Wired's answer was more or less that concerned parents should just relax. Quote, "All that collective angst about television, movies, newspapers, and theater," wrote the author, "is a lineage, a rite of passage through which all generations must proceed." Well, of course that's true, but just because the twist was harmless doesn't mean that TikTok is. Smartphones have opened the door for predatory pornography, sexual exploitation, peer pressure, mental illness, and abusive relationships. Not to mention, the desire for fame is a dangerous thing. In a 2011 interview, Billy Ray Cyrus said that the decision to let his daughter Miley become a pop star, quote, destroyed his family, and he'd take it back in a second if he could. In other words, before we let our kids become influencers, we should have an honest reckoning with just how much our platforms and our technologies are influencing them. for the Colson Center. I'm John Stone Street.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. We're highlighting remarks by Ken Ham during the 2024 Illinois Christian Home Educators Conference at Olivet Nazarene University in Bourbonnais. Mr. Ham is the founder of Answers in Genesis. He's an author and radio host. During this segment of Spotlight, the Genesis 3 attack and how it manifests itself in our era.
As I mentioned, the battle in today's world is what the devil said in 2 Corinthians 11:3. I'm going to use the same method on you as I did on Eve, he says. I'm going to create doubt in regard to the word of God. I call that actually the Genesis 3 attack. And you see, the Genesis 3 attack has manifested itself down through the ages. But you know, the devil also changes the way in which he does things. Things don't always stay the same. The fundamental attack has always been the same. There's always been an attack on God's word. But I would ask this question: how does the Genesis 3 attack manifest itself in the era we live in? See, if you go back to the time of Peter and Paul, first century, do you think anyone asked them about carbon dating? No, it's a 20th century invention. Do you think anyone asked Martin Luther in the 16th century about dinosaurs? Well, the word dinosaur wasn't even invented till 1841. It's just an arbitrary term that a man invented, that's all, for a particular group of land animals. Down through the ages, people have had to battle at times about the deity of Christ, about the bodily resurrection, about the miracles in the Old Testament, about the virgin birth, about salvation by grace through faith. What's the Genesis 3 attack of this era? And you see, the interesting thing is I've traveled all over the world for the past 40 years, and you know what I found? No matter what country I'm in, it can be a third world country, when people know you want about the Bible, Christianity, the gospel, Jesus, they ask the same basic sorts of questions. And they go sort of like this: well, don't we live in a scientific age? Hasn't science disproved the Bible? How do you know the Bible's true? What evidence is there for God? Who made God? You believe in Adam and Eve? Where did Cain get his wife? Well, how did all the races come about? If there are only two people to start with, where's the evidence of the flood? Don't fossil layers prove millions of years in evolution? We know man evolved from ape-like creatures. How could the story of Adam and Eve be true? How can you believe in a loving God with all the death and suffering we see in the world? Didn't dinosaurs live millions of years ago and evolved into birds? How could Noah fit all the animals on the ark? Hasn't science proved evolution is true? Isn't the Bible an outdated book of mythology? Just for interest, put your hands up if you've heard those sorts of questions. Do you see it? Boy, that's a shock. Hands all over the room. No, it's not a shock. That happens anywhere I go and speak when I ask that. You know why? We recognize the Genesis 3 attack type questions of today. And you notice something? They primarily relate to attacking the Bible as a book of history. They primarily relate to the fact we live in a so-called scientific age. And they're primarily an attack on Genesis 1 to 11. But I'm going to ask you another question. And don't put your hands up for this. Just think. How many of you can answer those questions? How many of you taught your children to answer those questions? How many of your pastors are teaching you to answer those questions in your churches? Because in the majority of instances, that is not happening. And that's just some of them. There's tons more. And you see, as I said, what's happening today particularly is an attack on God's word, particularly in Genesis chapters 1 to 11. So what can we do? I'm going to challenge us that here's what we need to do. Now, by the way, that was the introduction. My talk now officially starts. I just had to get the introduction out of the way so I can now start. Okay. We need to be raising up generations who know how to think foundationally, starting from God's word in Genesis 1 to 11, and equipped with apologetics. What's the word apologetics means? It comes from the word, Greek word, that's translated defense or answer in many translations. It's translated from the Greek word apologia. That's where we get a word apologetics, which means to give a logical reason defense of the faith. That's what we do at the Creation Museum, the Ark Encounter. That's what we do with our books, our curricula. We include apologetics. You see, when you walk through those seven C's at the Creation Museum, we walk you through Genesis 1 to 11. We're saying, here's what the Bible says. Now, here are the ways in which that's attacked. Let us give you the answers to show that, for instance, science confirms the Bible's history. We're teaching you to have a Christian worldview. And so here's what I want us to understand. I'm just going to do a little summary of some practical examples here for the rest of this talk. When you're dealing with any issue, I want you to remember, number one, Genesis 1 to 11 is the foundation for everything. So you want to deal with any issue whatsoever, you start with Genesis 1 to 11. Now, I'm going to go and ask you a series of questions. I'm going to tell you the answer. Well, how will I remember all the answers? All the questions we're going to ask have the same answer. How would you deal with gender? What's your answer?
Start with Genesis 1 to 11.
Wow, that's good. You're right. You start with Genesis 1 to 11. Let me show you how it works. See, people, this is how we should be teaching our children. This is how our churches should be teaching us. Not just a book of stories. We should be teaching the Bible. Yes, we teach those accounts in Scripture, but we should be teaching the Bible as a record of history, and Genesis 1 to 11 is the foundation for everything, so we can develop our worldview, our doctrine, and understand it all and know what we believe. Genesis 1:27, God made man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. Oh, there's only two options. Have you noticed that? There's only two options. Do you know that President Biden had the audacity on Easter Sunday to send out a tweet promoting, condoning transgender movement and saying, you know, we love transgender people, you're made in the image of God. Well, that comes from the Bible. We read it first in Genesis 1:26 and then Genesis 1:27. But what did not Joe Biden do? Quote the rest of the verse that says, male and female, he created them. And by the way, we don't just love transgender people one day of the year. We should love them 365 days of the year. And loving them means we're going to tell them the truth about who created them, who they are, and the truth of God's word, and help them understand that there's only two genders, male and female. Genesis 5:2, male and female, he created them. There's no other options. All the way through the Old Testament, male or female. When you go to the New Testament, when Jesus, who is God, when he was asked as the God-man about marriage, he said, haven't you read the authority of the word? Haven't you read who created them from the beginning, made them male and female? There he is attesting to two genders and to the historicity of Genesis. He did it again in Mark 10:6. Now, here's a little apologetics for you. We know that we're made of 23 pairs of chromosomes made up by DNA, that molecule of heredity. It makes up our chromosomes. And we have a pair of sex chromosomes. Males have a pair of, that's XY, females have XX. Amazing! There's science confirming two genders. Wow, who would have expected that? Anyone who believed the Bible, you would expect that. Now, be ready for the world. We should always be getting our kids to be ready for the world. Because you know what the world always does? They like to use exceptions to negate the rule. We have to understand why there's the exceptions. And you know, to understand that, you have to start from Genesis 1 to 11. It's true. You see, are there exceptions? Well, you know, there are some people that can have three X's and some two X's and a Y, and they have all sorts of problems because of that. But they're a fraction of a percent of the population, which means that's not the general order. So why do they exist? Oh, how do you deal with genetic problems? You start with Genesis 1 to 11. To deal with genetic problems? Of course, because it's not a perfect world anymore. Because when man sinned, God no longer holds everything together perfectly. God withdrew some of that sustaining power. Now things run down. There are mutations. There are mistakes. And those mutations can cause problems in our chromosomes. That's why Paul says in Romans 8, the whole creation groans. It's not just sex chromosomes, but others that also have exceptions, if you want to call them that, have problems. But you see, because we know we live in a fallen world, we can understand why they exist. That's why we get sick. That's why we have all sorts of diseases. But you know what the secular world is telling young people? It's telling young people, you can trust your feelings. Let me ask you this, from a Christian worldview perspective, can you trust your feelings?
No.
Say it out again.
No.
No, you can't. How do we know that? You start from Genesis 1 to 11. You can't trust your feelings. Why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. So what they're told today is, oh, you biologically were born a boy, but you feel you should be a girl. Oh, well, you can trust your feelings. You know the problem? Only Christians are the ones who can understand, no, you can't trust your feelings. Which again reminds you the answer and solution to all of this is God's word. Because until they understand and believe that, they're not going to understand about their sin nature. See, that's why my parents taught us scripture like, I have stored up your word in my heart so I might not sin against you. They reminded us that you can't trust your feelings, and your behavior and your feelings have to be always judged against the absolute authority of God's word, because God's word is the absolute authority. It's not a guidebook. This is the word of God who knows everything. This is the foundation for everything. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. You know, a good lesson for us is when God spoke to Cain, we know from even the New Testament that Cain had a heart problem. And God warned Cain before he killed Abel. Cain, your sin nature, it desires you. It wants to master over you. Don't let it master over you. You need to master over it. He let it master over him and he killed his brother Abel because he didn't listen to God's word. And you see, we need to make sure every day as Christians, we continually look to God's word, look to the Lord Jesus Christ, to conform to the image of Christ, to judge everything against God's word. But always remember this, you know, because of our sin nature, those temptations to do that which is wrong rather than that which is right are very great. And in fact, our nature is that we're more likely to do bad than good because our nature is we want the bad. That's our nature. That's who we are. But there's no temptation that we can't overcome in Jesus Christ. And again, a reminder, the solution is in Christ. The solution is in the gospel. And we've got to remember that.
Ken Ham, the founder and CEO of Answers in Genesis, during the 2024 Illinois Christian Home Educators Conference at Olivet Nazarene University in Bourbonnais. Our thanks to Kirk Smith and his ICHE leadership team for allowing Spotlight to record Mr. Ham's remarks. Be sure to visit iche.org for information about Christian home education. Please join with the Illinois Family Institute in praying for Illinois and our nation. You can find a prayer gathering near you by going to humilityandprayerillinois.com. Please support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. All donations are tax deductible. And tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.